I'm back. What show is that known for? NCIS? No. CSI. You had one. You were what? Crime Scene Investigation. Now, it was their theme song. Now, we're used to seeing the end of it. Has anybody ever gone back and looked at the beginning of that series? It is so rinky-dink at the start. It's amazing where they wound up. But their whole show is trying to identify the victim and the perpetrator and try to figure out what happened in the story of events. It's like a big jigsaw puzzle. They've got this piece, and then they got this piece, and they got this piece. And by the end of the show, they're able to say, this is normally what happened. But it always starts with a single question. Who are you? Who are you? This is a question that was asked of Jesus often. In John 8, 24 and 5, Jesus said, I told you that you would die in your sin, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. So they said to Him, who are you? Who gives you the right to tell us that? Who gives you the right? Do you have the authority to even do that? Understand, every biblical character has been asked a similar question by God in various ways. Judas, who are you? As he just told everyone that there's a devil among them, Judas, who are you? Peter, after denying him three times and Jesus resurrected and had him by himself on the seashore, go, Peter, do you love me? Not like that, God. I can't say I like that. Peter, who are you? Are you the arrogant one who wants to be the king? Who are you, Peter? Moses, on the backside of a mountain, seeing a burning, non-burning bush, going, Moses, who are you? Well, I'm just an old shepherd on the backside taking care of someone else's sheep. Really? Is that really who you are, Moses? No, that's who I see myself as. That's not who you are, Moses. I have created you for a specific purpose. And this question will be asked several times in our Christian walk. In our Christian walk. We must never forget that we have an old nature within us. And it is fighting against for dominance over the new sinless nature. Who are you? And we must choose to live by the new nature, by the Word of God and who we are and the Spirit of God living within us. But we easily slide to the old nature. Or we let the things of the past come and cloud the current of who we are. Try to take our peace. We slide easily, don't we? We slide easily. The biblical character of Jacob shows this so, so much. I'm still here, son. Yeah. His whole life was a struggle. His whole life. Now, you might say that. I've had people say, I have struggled since the day I was born. Jacob can say that, and it was true. In Genesis 25, 22, and 3, there were two children struggled within the womb of their mother. So she asked the Lord about it. Why is this happening to me, she asked. And the Lord told her, the sons in your womb will become two nations. From the very beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other. The older will serve the younger. That was so unusual back then, she was probably taken back. We find when they were born, in verse 24 and 6, and when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered that she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair like fur coat. So they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping on the heel, on Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob, just holding on to it. That word Jacob means he cheats. He's a trickster. He's a deceiver. How would you like to go through life with that name? True to his nature, he manipulates Esau out of his birthright. The birthright back then was a patriarchal system, and whoever was the head of the family, they were the head of the entire clan. They were also responsible. They got most of the inheritance because they were to take care of all of that. With his mother's help, they manipulated his father Isaac into giving Jacob his blessing. And since Jacob was Esau was different, they tied sheep fur on his arms. We find Jacob Isaac going, you smell like Esau, but you don't sound like Esau. Esau is furious, threatens to kill Jacob, so he was sent away to his mother's brother's home named Laban. There, on the way, trying to figure out why his life went out of gear so easily, we find that God met him and he says, behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Remember, Jacob has the blessing that's going to flow down through the tribe of Abraham, if you will, all the way to the Messiah. I will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised Jacob. Jacob has the blessing of God on his life now. This is who he is. This is who you are, Jacob. You are in the bloodline of the Messiah. You have the blessing. This is who you are. Go and live it. And he didn't, much like we do. And he discovered that his uncle Laban was a better deceiver than he was. Jacob worked 7 years for the love of his life, Rachel, only to discover that Laban had put her sister Leah in the wedding bed. And imagine discovering that the next morning. He had to work another 7 years for Rachel. And then he worked 4 more years as God blessed him with the herds. We find that in Genesis 31, 6 and 7, he said, Jacob said, you know how hard I have worked for your father, but he has cheated me, changing my wages 10 times. Now Jacob is no longer favored by Laban and his sons. So now he's got to run again, doesn't he? So he goes to his wife. Soon after Rachel had given birth to Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, please release me so I can go to my home country. Let me take my wives and my children, for I have earned them by serving you. And let me be on my way. You certainly know how hard I have worked for you. And surprise, surprise, Laban said, no. You're not taking my daughters and my grandchildren away from me. No. So Joseph must run again. And that may be how you're feeling this morning. Your whole life has been running from something. He's got to run away. And he's running, he's always running away from rather than to something. He's running away from Laban rather than running to God's blessing. And God gives him another promise, 31:13. I am the God who appeared to you at Bethel the first time, the place where you anointed the pillar of stone and made your vow to me. Now get ready and leave this country and return to the land of your birth. So now Jacob finds himself in a rough situation. He's unable to manipulate himself out of this one. Okay? Laban and his sons, they're behind him coming. They're going to take him, his wife and his children and all his herd back. Esau heard he was coming, and he's got 400 of his men coming to meet him. Now, Joseph's mind is, I've messed him once. What's he coming to do? It doesn't take 400 men to escort me in. Still being Jacob, manipulating his own life, he sends Esau with all sorts of gifts to soften him up. And he separates his family into two places, and he is by himself waiting. And God confronts Jacob at this point in his loneliness, in his separation, in his hopelessness. He comes to him with a serious question. Jacob, son of the promise, who are you? Turn to Genesis chapter 32. We're going to read through this and go through it a little bit, and got a few things to say. Starting in verse 24, when Jacob was left alone, this is normally the time when Satan will come to you and try to wrestle your peace away from you. A man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Verse 30, Jacob called this man God. Hosea called this person the angel of the Lord. I happen to think it was the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ that came to meet him there. And sometime during the hours of wrestling, Jacob must have began to realize, this is no ordinary man. There's something going on here. I'm struggling as much as I can. He's not got me down yet. But something is not right here. I wonder if Jacob began to wonder, what do you want with me, God? Why are you doing this? Do you not know what's behind and what's waiting for me? I have got so much on my mind. It's a terrible time in my life. What are you bringing this for? Why? What are you doing, God? But Jacob was not physically ready to give up and let God take control. So he continues to struggle physically. Verse 25, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob. In other words, Jacob wasn't giving up. I am not giving up this life. It is my life. I'm going to live it the way I want. He touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. How many knows you cannot effectively wrestle with one leg? Can't do it. Can't do it. God let Jacob take him all the way as far as he physically can go. His strength, his hope, and himself. And the angel could have done this at any time. At any time during the night, he could have done this. But at the end of what Jacob was able to do physically, he made him a step further where it was impossible. Impossible for him to let go. And now Jacob finds himself just hanging on. Just hanging on to the angel with all of his strength. That's all he could do. He's just hanging on. And folks, there's times in our lives that's the only thing we can do is hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just grasp and don't let go, because it's coming at you right and left. And he didn't touch one hip. He touched both my hips. Yeah, that kind of stuff. And all he could do was hang on. Verse 26, then the angel said, let me go, for the day has broken. In other words, what he means is, it's time to let go, Jacob. It's time to let go of the Jacob that you were born with, the character you were born with. It's time to let go of who your past is. It's time to grasp of what's out ahead of you, Jacob. It's time to let go. But Jacob said, I will not go unless you bless me. I can't go on. Whoever you are, you need to bless me. I can't go on. See, Jacob recognized this was a divine opponent. And he abandoned his lifelong habit of relying on his own cunning. I can't do this any longer, God. I can't do it. Bless me. Did Jacob know what he was asking for? I don't think so. He just knew that person that he had his arms around, that was his only hope. By holding on, he was expressing desperate repentance, spiritual perseverance, and a total surrender to God's favor and protection over his uncertain future. I'm who you say I am. That's who I am. I no longer want to be this Jacob. I no longer want this influence in my life. I no longer want the things of the past that keep coming up and taking my peace. Those are yours. I don't want them anymore. I don't want to manhandle. I don't want to manipulate. I just want to be who you say I am. Listen to what the angel said. What is your name? What was his name? Trickster. Can't trust. Deceiver. What is your name? Oh, can you imagine what that did to Jacob? Oh, my name is Jacob. Who are you, Jacob? Who are you? This was the second time that Jacob was asked his name. The first time is when they were deceiving his father, Isaac. It says, so he went into his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. And his father asked, who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Manipulation. And now he's asked a second time, who are you, Jacob? How do you see yourself, Jacob? Who are you? Not I am Jacob the great and mighty. Not Jacob the blessed. Not Jacob the one in complete control of his life. I am Jacob the flawed. I am Jacob. That is honesty. Honesty. I am Jacob the trickster, the struggler, the deceiver, the schemer. That's who I am, and I no longer want to be that. Jacob had the blessing of God, but he needed to step into that blessing and make it his and become it. God never leaves us at that point. At that point. Then he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven or struggled with God and with men and yourself. I put that in. And you've prevailed. You've overcome. I'm changing your name. You're no longer Jacob the trickster. You're no longer Jacob the one that cannot be trusted. You're no longer Jacob the manipulator. You are the Jacob that is now Isaac. I have changed you. Then Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he said, why is that you ask my name? In other words, he's saying, you already know what it is. What are you asking that question for? And there he blessed him. Jacob, the name Jacob, represents the old life of striving and trickering and relying on his own will. The old way of looking at yourself. And folks, I got to tell you, there's some here that are looking at themselves the old way. You've let others define who you are. You've let circumstances define who you are. You've let your failures define who you are. And you're looking at yourself. I'm a Jacob. I'm a Jacob. I'm a failure here. I wasn't worth anything as a kid. That's what everyone told me. I'm a nobody. God said, you're my son and daughter. As a born-again child of God, forgiven by God because of Jesus bearing the penalty of our sins, and your faith in that act, you have been transformed, and you are no longer worthless. You're no longer weak. You're no longer a failure. You're no longer without hope. Your new name, Israel, means God strives, or one who wrestles with God, and we do that, don't we? Or a prince with God. He went from the name trickster, deceiver, to a prince of God. But he has to step into that. The Hebrew word strives means to make an earnest, agonizing effort towards spiritual discipline. Jacob, this is just the start. You're going to struggle with this probably your whole life, and you need to step into who you are. Step into my promises. Step into what I'm going to do. And the Hebrew word prevailed in this context means you have overcome your name. You've overcome your past. You've overcome the things that are out there. You are my son. You hold and you bear the promise of the Messiah. Step into that, Jacob, in humility. You struggled with your past nature, who you were, and you have now overcome it. Does that mean he is perfect? He will never be tempted to slide back? No! But that's who he is. Just like Jacob, every born-again child of God must step into their new identity. We stop with being saved so often. Folks, that's just the door that gets you into the right relationship with God Almighty. If that is all you do, there's a heaven waiting for you, but this life, there's no guarantee of any blessing in this life unless you step into that salvation. This is who I am. God tells me who I am. We sang that. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. That's you. Stop wallowing in the things of the past. Stop seeing yourself as a failure. Stop letting the words of others dictate how you respond and think of yourself today. Look through the eyes of Jesus Christ and said, I died for you. I loved you. And I long for you to live blessed in this life. And that word blessed does not necessarily mean financial. It means I get to walk with a Messiah in this life, knowing that I am accepted and He has promised to lead me and guide me to the very throne room of God so that I will be accepted by the Father because of Him. Your past is washed away. Yes, there's memories. Yes, there's consequences. But the verdict of guilt is replaced by God's grace. Not earned, but God's grace. Instead of viewing God as a distant judge, you are adopted into His family and can approach Him as a loving father. But you have to step into that. You have to receive it. You should have to start seeing yourself as you really are. As a child of God, you are a joint heir with Christ, meaning you share in His spiritual inheritance. We are joint heirs with Jesus. And what is Jesus inheriting? Everything. Everything. Jacob had some things to learn about God before he could do that. See, true blessings flow through Jesus. God is a promise-giving God. As you are in His scriptures, you will find all sorts of promises and truths that He has given us. But he just doesn't give promises. He keeps His promise. Even when it appears He is absent or silent or He's rejected, He keeps His promise. Jacob had to come to terms with who he was and turn from it. That's no longer me. I saw me and Laban and I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. And I no longer want to live like that person. I am Jacob and it hurt him to say it. He saw that in Laban's life. That's not who I'm going to be going forward. You see the decision he made? Not in perfection. That's not who I am. We call that repentance today. We'll return from that old nature and we repent and we turn back to God and His way. Jacob had to bow to God's presence and lordship of his life. He did a miserable job of himself. We call that salvation today. Where we bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that the sin debt that we bear, we can't do anything about. But Jesus bore our sin debt on the cross, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jacob finally prevailed with God when the power, look at this, when the power of his faith overcame the pain of his past. Write that down, that's good. That's really good. He prevailed when he let the power of his faith overcome the pain of his past. There will be times in your life where the pain of your past will try and wrestle the peace of your presence. Normally, 3 o'clock in the morning. When you wake up and all your perceived failures of the past come rushing into you. And odds are it's worse than it really was. And odds are it has expounded itself over the years and you're trying to grasp a hold of it and you claim you're a child of God, but the thoughts keep coming. Folks, you have an enemy out there that wants to strip your peace. And he knows the best time to do that. And just like Jacob, we have been given a new name reflecting our new identity. Yes, there's a new name written in glory when we receive Jesus as Savior. Revelation 2:17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. There is a white stone in heaven with our new name on it. In ancient Greek, in the courts, a white stone was cast when the jurors voted not guilty. And as we stand before the throne of God, we stand as born-again children of God, not guilty. Also, it was rewarded to those in athletic games where there was a white stone that gave the entrance into the great feasts and in the great celebrations. And folks, that white stone, we can present that at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we will see, we will be admitted in. We get to sit with Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It symbolizes complete acquittal of sins. Don't be bearing them sins any longer. They've been forgiven. An eternal identity that cannot be stripped away from us. And a VIP admission ticket to heaven's victory banquet. That's who we are in Christ Jesus. Folks, all great men and women of faith had to step into the person God called them to be, to accomplish what he desired in their lives. Gideon, threshing wheat in a wine press. The angel come down to him, Gideon, oh mighty warrior. He wasn't a mighty warrior, but he had to step into that. Moses on the backside of a mountain, tending someone else's sheep. Paul on the road to Damascus to arrest Christians. They had to step into who God said that they were, all through faith and all through humility. So God is asking each one of us this morning, who are you? Who are you in Christ Jesus? Have you accepted his salvation? If not, then all I've said doesn't apply. But who are you? Who are you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the illustration of Jacob. And Lord, I am confident that all of us can find ourselves in his story at some point. We have grown up and been looked down upon, told we were nothing. We have been hurt. We've taken our own life and lived it the way we want, and now there's failures and scars back there. There's divorces and abortions. And there's addictions. And God, it can weigh us down today unless we grasp who we are. We are a born-again child of God. And as the song we sang today said, yes, I am. But we need to grasp it and walk into it, learn of it, and begin to walk the life you have laid out for us. So now, Father, I pray that we individually take account of who we are. Do I know you as Savior? If not, I'm going to find out today, because eternity is an awful long time. But for the most of us, may we learn to walk victorious. We've struggled with mankind, we've struggled with God, and because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we have overcome because of our faith in Jesus. Now, Father, I pray that you open up your altars. I thank you for this opportunity, and I give you the glory alone. Amen.